Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Morning, everyone. This is John Baker with Biz Rocket Radio, and Stone is out on assignment this week, so I'll be handling the mics on my own. I'm excited about today's topic, and it's a little different than normal. As many of you know, our show is centered around executives and business owners and learning about experiences that they've had, successes and challenges. Today we've got two special guests. One is Linda Murphy, who is the Director of Special Events with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And Linda has made that transition that so many people talk about, which is going from the private sector into the nonprofit sector and getting into that nonprofit line of business. And I think she's got a lot of interesting anecdotes and stories to tell about what she's gone through and how she made that transition. Our second guest is Andy Lippman, and we will get to Andy here in a second. But Linda, first I'd like to welcome you into the show.
Thank you, John.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit of background on kind of how you got involved in nonprofit work.
Sure. I started as a volunteer about 20 years ago with the CF Foundation. At that time, did not know anyone with CF, had no family connection at all. It was actually my children that got me involved through a fundraiser called Super Splash in our neighborhood in Roswell. They came home with brochures wanting to raise money for cystic fibrosis. So my oldest at that time in fifth grade got out the old World Book encyclopedias back before the internet, looked up C, and read about cystic fibrosis. That then led to researching more and more. She read a number of books about CF, an incredible one by Frank DeFord called Alex, Life of a Child. She then went around knocking on doors in our neighborhood, and long story short, raised over $1,000 that summer and was the top fundraiser in all of Atlanta.
Wow.
She then next year wanted to repeat and raised even more money, and quickly the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation got a hold of me and thought, well, if the daughter can do this, maybe the mother can do some fundraising too. So I started chairing a number of events, chaired the Super Splash in our neighborhood, took it larger and larger. We incorporated a fun run and a barbecue, and just increased awareness and funds year after year. I then started chairing other events, Wine Opener for a couple of years, and got involved with the Wine and Roses Committee.
How did you get what was your background before you got involved? I mean, obviously, you made this transition almost through the babes, mouths of babes, right? I mean, it was kind of interesting how that worked with your daughter getting involved and you kind of following suit. What was your life prior to this?
Prior to that, I was with Fortune 500 companies. I was a manager of compensation for NCR Corporation, was an HR director for McCormick Spice, and then once had children, started teaching in the academic world, taught at Mercer and Kennesaw in their MBA programs.
Why didn't you want to go back into the corporate environment? What made you decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to take this to the next level and actually get involved with a nonprofit?
What really led me to it was seeing and meeting the families with cystic fibrosis and seeing the huge strides that were made in terms of how this foundation really was making a difference in their lives in terms of raising money for a cure. Once you taste that and see how you really are making a difference on a day-to-day basis, it's kind of hard to go back to just counting money in in the corporate world.
And if people listening today that are thinking about making that transition, but they don't know how to do it or kind of where, what would you suggest? What's the first step for somebody who's trying to make that transition?
I think the first step is really getting to know a number of different nonprofits as a volunteer, seeing what they're all about, seeing what might be a good fit for you, what connects with you. Maybe it's something personal in your family, maybe it's not, as it was in my case.
What would you now? So let's say you found the passion, you found something. You're like, you know what? I can really get behind this and wake up in the morning with a focus and a purpose and what I want to do. What other things would you say are important once you get involved with a foundation? Things that you want to look at to go, you know what? The cause might be right, but the foundation might be wrong. What are the things that need to be right about the place that you're working or the group that you're working with?
I think the people that are part of that mission, do you like them? Are they truthful? Can you respect them? The mission itself, of course. The efficiency of the organization, that's one thing that I think is very unique about the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. We are one of the most efficient, if not the most efficient, in the country. Over 90 cents of every dollar goes to cure and research. So that's something to take a look at closely. How much of the funds raised go to that mission?
Now, I know that the CF Foundation is very event-driven. What are some of the events that you've had the most fun with? Now, I'm not saying effectiveness. Let's just say fun to start with.
I would have to say the Wish for Wendy softball tournament.
There's a plug for Andy, who's going to be our next guy on. Yeah.
Thank you, Linda.
It's just an incredible family and an incredible group of people. It's a softball tournament, and it's a day of fun, music, laughter, you know, bring the kids out, just a lot of fun. So we can have a lot of fun with fundraising. Totally different, some of our galas are great fun. You get to get dressed up, wine and dine, have wonderful auctions, great group of people.
So you've been helping these volunteers now, right, organize these fundraising type of events, and obviously you've become an expert in this area. What are the kinds of things that you can do to motivate, or how can people motivate themselves to get out there and fundraise or do it effectively? Obviously, if you do something well, it's a lot more fun to do it. How can you do it well?
Well, two things. One, we being very efficient and being a nonprofit, we do tend to get almost everything donated. So that's very, very key, you know, from venues to food and beverages to used equipment. But then really, as far as motivating our volunteers, and we are very heavily volunteer driven, and we really rely on our volunteers, because they believe so much in our mission that we truly feel that CF someday will stand for Cure Found in their lifetimes. It's very easy for them to get motivated. It's a self-motivator. We often say money buys science, and science buys lives. No other disease or condition that I can think of has seen so much progress in the last 20 years, and I think that in itself is what motivates and keeps our volunteers going, whether they be family members or friends or no connection at all.
What are some of the hardest challenges, the biggest challenges that the volunteers tend to face in fundraising?
That's a good question, and it varies by event and location. Of course, the economic downturn in the last few years has been a challenge. Many of our supporters and our families have definitely been affected by the downturn. So what we have found is that means we just have to reach more and more people. CF is a relatively small disease. 30,000 in the U.S. are affected, about 70,000 worldwide. So we can't rely on just those 30,000 people and their families. So we need to continually reach out to more and more people. And that's what the economic downturn, which has been a challenge, it's almost been a silver lining because we've reached more people. And actually, as a chapter, the Georgia chapter, we've raised more money last year than the previous year, which is pretty pretty amazing.
In 2010?
2010, wow. Yeah. Right. So one of the ways we've been doing that, the foundation is always looking at new ways to possibly make more money, to reach more people. Last year, we started a couple of new events nationally. One that we did here in Georgia was a cycling event. And we thought by reaching cyclists who are typically pretty motivated and have big hearts, we could potentially meet some people that didn't know about CF and wanted to raise money for the cause. So,
and before we got on the air, Alan, our producer, is an ex-cyclist. Alan, are you up for this? How long's the ride, Linda? 650 miles, isn't that what it was?
We have a 30-mile route and a 65-mile route.
All right. So what do you think?
Can I'm going to train for it.
30 miles. Are you going to do the 65? Oh, 65, of course. 65 roses.
Right.
I'll train for it.
Well, you train for it.
He'll
love
do the 65.
It.
I can't ride 10 now, but I'll
all right. Look, I got the sheet right here. Here's your sign up sheet. So there's your there it is.
I'll be there.
Oh, we have a commitment.
And when is that event?
It is October 15th. This year, we will start and finish in the community of Serenby, which is in Chattahoochee Hills. It's about 30 miles south of Atlanta. Just beautiful, beautiful community. Nice rolling hills. So it won't be too challenging. And we'll have a great fun family day along with it as well. So we're had over 100 riders last year and looking to double that this year.
So if people are doing these riding events or these walking or running events, how do they raise money? What's been the most effective way for people to raise money in that kind of capacity?
You know, the most effective way is really just asking. People are always amazed and think that they can't ask too much, but we just find that ask, and it's amazing how many people want to give and want to help.
Yeah, it is surprising in so many different situations. Now, going through the economic downturn that you talked about, what were some of the things that you felt the foundation did really well to kind of get through 2009 and 2010 that, you know, maybe other charitable organizations maybe didn't do or could have done a better job of?
Well, we started off, we are a very lean organization. We did get even a little bit leaner, which companies and organizations across the country had to do. But since we operated already pretty lean, we were a little more in a better position, I guess you'd say, to do that. Cut cost, and just continued to try to reach more and more people, even though we knew that each individual donor might have been donating less. Because we had more, we were successful.
So you just increased the swath and knew that they might be smaller dollars, but you get more of them, you get more money in the bottom line, eh?
Absolutely.
Good, good. So what's been the biggest event that the foundation has here in Atlanta?
Well, our biggest event was just this weekend, an incredible Great Strides Walk. It was on Saturday down at Georgia Tech. We had over 2,000 individuals there at the walk. It was wonderful seeing so many CF families, friends, companies, sponsors, just incredible. As of this morning, our total is $950,000.
Wow.
From that one event. We think we have a possible shot of going over the $1 million mark, which will actually make us the largest walk in the country in history. This same weekend, there were over 200 sites across the country that had walks, and there'll be a total of 600 sites throughout the year. We're projecting about $40 million nationally.
Wow.
For the Great Strides Walk.
And we were number one, top of the heap.
We were.
Well, congratulations. That is good stuff. Good stuff. So one of the things we like to end with in terms of just getting an idea from our listeners from our guests, if you going through the corporate business, going into the nonprofit world, seeing people successful at fundraising, seeing people successful in business, if you were to share one pearl of wisdom with our listeners, what do you think that would be to help them move forward more successfully with their lives and careers?
Well, it's something I alluded to a bit ago, is just on asking. We're constantly asking more and more from our volunteers, from our supporters, from our donors, for more time, more donations, more ideas. And we're constantly amazed at how often that answer is yes. So we're learning to continue to ask. And I think that's a good message, not just in fundraising, but in life. If you need help, ask. It's amazing. Just the generosity of people is amazing.
Well, thank you, Linda. That was great to have you on. I appreciate you sharing that experience with nonprofit work and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Maybe we can have you back and get an update on the cycle.
I'd love that.
We'll have you know, Alan come in here bruised and battered and sore and hobbling in for the show.
it won't be too bad.
All right, so Alan can come in and he can be the actual example of the fundraiser.
I'll be the reporter on site.
That's right. Hey, you
Man
know what?
On the ground.
You know what? You got to get Stone involved because he loves taking anything portable. You know, he'll put a mic. He'll be like in a car, like riding next to Alan with a microphone. And, how are you doing, Alan? Alan will be like puffing away, trying to get through the next hill. Right?
Yeah, he'll be in a van following me.
He's not going to be riding. No, probably not.
I love it.
All right. Well, thank you, Linda. We appreciate you coming in. So our next guest is Andy Lippman. Andy is a motivational speaker as well as an author. If there was a professional fundraiser, he would probably be it. Andy's been a good friend of mine for a long time, but way before we ever even got involved with the CF Foundation. He actually has cystic fibrosis and has gone through a lot of challenges himself and has come out on the good side of the table, has, you know, a family and a career and all that good stuff. Andy, welcome in.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background, kind of where you came from and how you got to this point.
Sure. I grew up in Atlanta, one of the few native Atlantans. There are not many.
No, there aren't.
No, I think you can count them all on one hand. But I grew up in Atlanta, had the disease cystic fibrosis, didn't know much about it. As I grew up, I found out that it was a disease that, unfortunately, if not treated well, could take my life at a very early age. However, I have gotten through that. I went to the University of Georgia. Had some tough times there, again, dealing with my disease, but adjusted pretty well. And now I've run 14 Peachtree Road races. I've run with the Olympic Torch. I chair this great event with Linda, Wish for Wendy. We start our own foundation to benefit the CF Foundation. And I have my third book coming out called The Drive at 35. And again, the 35 is about my age, not about speed limits. Please, no policeman call the show. But the drive at 35 is in order to show people that you can do anything you want as long as you have the drive to do it.
And you started Wish for Wendy, this phenomenal softball tournament, which I have participated in as well as volunteered in. And it's just it's an amazing event. Your family just does a great job. Your friends, just an amazing committee. If there are people out there that say, you know what, there's a passion that I have, there's maybe something that I want to do, and I know that fundraising or creating some kind of an event is the way to do that, what's the first step in creating an event that has the kind of success and the potential and also the longevity that you've had with Wish?
I mean, I would say a couple things is, one, you got to have the motivation. There's got to be a reason for it. A Wish for Wendy is in memory of my sister Wendy, who passed away. She only lived 16 days. She was born 3 years prior to me. I didn't learn much about her until I was about 25. Then I found out that she did die from cystic fibrosis. The other thing is you got to take risks. I remember the first day I walked in the CF Foundation, I was wearing a suit, probably the first time I'd ever worn a suit. And I was just so nervous. And I remember I get all these questions, you know, how are you going to raise all this money? How many teams are you going to have? All this. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I'm going to do it. You know, that's all I know, and it's going to be baby steps. And, you know, the first year we raised about $25,000, and this past year I think we raised about $170,000. So,
wow.
You know, I would say have goals, but be realistic as well. It's not going to happen all at once, but with hard work and with good people around you like Linda, you can be successful.
And your family got really involved in it too, right?
Yeah, my mom and my wife, my father, my sister, aunts and uncles, cousins. I mean, everybody comes out there and works hard and does an amazing job.
You know, your sister does a lot of these kind of wraparound type events. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. My sister, Emily, she owns a store called Raw Denim. Go check it out.
All right. There you go.
It's in Buckhead. She can't tell me I didn't plug. But she does. She's had fashion shows. She's had something called Comedy for a Cure. She's had a lot of different shows. We've done musical concerts in the past. We've done several different little things just to get people out there. We really try to raise money by doing some different things, not just softball. So we're trying to kind of vary it a little bit. But the softball tournament's the big event. But even at the softball tournament, we have a separate silent auction, which has raised probably over $20,000, $25,000 each year that we do it, and each year it gets bigger.
Wow. Well, I remember back in the day, you didn't even have an auction.
No. First year, we didn't have one. Yeah. We actually auctioned you off, if I remember.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. It didn't make a lot of money.
Those 12 bucks, though, went a long way.
It went a long way. It's seed money. It was
all
seed
money. There you go.
Yeah. So you transitioned from childhood and learning more about CF, just kind of going through the day, trying to get through the day, into college. And I know in your first book, Alive at 25, is a great caption and story about the transition that you made there. And you know, your second book, a Superhero Needs No Cape, came out in 97? No, 07, I'm sorry.
07, 07. Yeah, around 07.
And now you've got your third book coming on. So a trifecta author. What does it take to write a book? I know a lot of people have talked to me about, hey, you know, I'd like to write a book. I got an idea.
Right.
What would you say to somebody who's first starting to think about writing a book?
Time. No, obviously you need time, but I'm not one of those people who spends 10 hours a day writing it. I've taken this one book's probably taken me a decade. Excuse me.
The most recent one that you write coming out?
Yeah, it's taken about a decade to write it. You know, I have different things that I do during a day, and my family is a big priority. Two little kids, so you know how it goes.
Yep.
The book is, it was fun to write. I love writing, so that has to be part of it. You can't go in there thinking, oh, this is going to be awful. You know, you got to go in there with the incentive that not only will this help myself, but this will help a lot of people. One of the big reasons I wrote this book was because I wanted to help families with children with cystic fibrosis, because when I was a kid, I had no role models with CF. I didn't know anyone with CF. So this was really important to me, is that when kids grow up, I want them to be able to not just read a reference book that has statistics. I want them to read my book to know that statistics don't mean anything, because you can't measure a person's heart. So I want people to have that available to them.
How did you go about coming up with the topic, the concept of what you wanted to write about? Or did you just write and then find out what that topic was going to be based on, you know, what you came up with?
Well, it's interesting. On my 25th birthday, I woke up and I remembered reading an encyclopedia. We were talking about, you know, looking up cystic fibrosis. Well, when I was 7 or 8 years old, I too looked it up, and I read that people with CF don't normally live to the age of 25. And so all of a sudden, I kind of stopped thinking about that for a while. All of a sudden, I woke up on my 25th birthday, and it just came to me. You know, I'm here. I'm here. Maybe it's time to write a book that challenges that theory.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I came with Alive at 25. And as far as the drive at 35, it just made sense. But you know, 10 years later, I wanted to write that there's more. I mean, I didn't talk about having children and the fact that my kids have to deal with a parent with cystic fibrosis. They have to sit downstairs while I do my therapy. I have a wife who has to be there for me when I have cystic fibrosis and go through all this stuff. And it's a very difficult job for a wife and children to go through that.
You know, and I kind of skipped over this, but obviously there's a lot of listeners who aren't familiar with CF. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about CF and the challenges that CF patients go through every day.
Sure, I'll give you the layman's definition. It's basically, I always tell people when I speak, it's kind of a serious form of asthma. But what cystic fibrosis is, it's just basically, I would say you have a high amount of salt, you have trouble breathing, it affects your lungs. It basically makes it so the mucus in your lungs thickens quite a bit, and you have to do therapy every day to loosen that phlegm and take aerosols, all sorts of things. And the other things about cystic fibrosis, not only does it affect respiratory, it affects your digestive system. I take pancreatic enzymes every day. In fact, in total, I take 30 to 40 pills a day. But not just that, it also affects your reproductive system. Only 2% of cystic fibrosis males are fertile. The other 98% either have to go through fertility drugs or unfortunately aren't able to have children. So there are a lot of downfalls with CF, but on the bright side, you can write a book and run with the Olympic torch if you have it. So always a qualifier, but
that's right.
But
that's
yeah, right. I was very fortunate to have a lot of great people like yourself, John, and like Linda, and like my family, my wife and my kids and my parents to be around me. And they've really made a difference.
And Linda talked a little bit about the CF Foundation. How is the foundation impacted you? How do you see the foundation as being a support mechanism for the CF community?
Well, I'll say the best move they ever made was hiring Linda. Linda, here, I'll give you that
There's
$10 bucks back.
That's
yeah, yeah.
That's
I don't need that $10, but I still have the $12 from John. But No, the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation more and more does a great job. In fact, you know, they've given a lot to a lot of new drugs, a lot of new research. One, Vertex, a lot of people are familiar in the CF community, which is coming out with a drug that has done amazing things for lung function. And so the CF Foundation is one of, I think it was in the Fortune 500, is one of the best nonprofits to give your money to. Linda, what is it? It's like 91.9, 92.8, something like that, or 90.10?
90 cents of every dollar raised goes to cure and control programs.
Which is amazing compared to pretty much every other charity. And Wish for Wendy, our event, I think, is closer to like 94.6 or 95.5.
Right.
We spend very little on costs. We try to fundraise pretty much everything, so...
Right, so very efficient organizations made a difference in terms of the life expectancy of CF patients and you know the drive for a cure or control.
Absolutely, without the CF Foundation, we don't get started with this, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't do as well as I am right now.
How do you find the time to write a book and do all these other things? You're working now, I take it.
Yes.
What's your full time gig?
Well, a full time gig. I am a purchasing director at a heating, ventilation, air conditioning company called Diversitech. Been doing that for, gosh, almost a decade and a half now. And, you know, I love my job. I work hard. And, but, you know, there are lunch times. There are times at night where I can kind of just do some creative thinking and do some writing. There are weekends, you know, occasionally that I think. But, again, it takes time because I don't do it all in one shot. I just kind of write when I can, and I fundraise when I can, but I have some great people around me. As I said, my family has been amazing, and they're the support system, not only with the charity, not only with the book, but just with life. So I'm very fortunate to have that, my friends and my family.
And you've lived in Georgia all your life, right?
Correct.
And the support mechanisms you have here, how important has that been for you? I mean, friends, obviously family is critical. How much support do you draw from people that you've known all your life?
It's amazing. I have friends that I grew up with in elementary school that we still talk or hang out, but I can't explain it. It's great because the amazing thing about friends and family is they're there not only in the good times but in the bad times too. When you're going through a tough time with any disease, I know mine being a terminal illness. Not saying that I'm not doing well, but it is terminal, and there are always those scary times that you have friends and family that are there for you in the good and the bad times. No matter how tough it gets, no matter how poorly or how well you're doing, they're still there the same way, and they're still there for you. So I'm fortunate to have a lot of friends like that and family like that. I don't know how I picked those out of the hat, but I got pretty much all of them, so I'm really thrilled with that.
And you've got two kids?
Two kids.
And how are they doing?
They're great. They're great. Avery is a little girl. She's 5, and she's going on 25. And Ethan is 2.5, and he's a little devil.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mischievous, huh?
Yeah. Oh, just a little. Yeah. Just a little.
Just a little. You know, it's interesting. You a lot of times you hear from the CF angle from the parents' perspective. Have you talked to your kids about their perspective? I mean, obviously, it kind of becomes normal to have to. You know, dad's got this thing that makes him cough, and he's got to go through and do all these treatments. But are they starting to grasp any of it yet? Have you gone through and talked to them about how it impacts you or them?
Well, my son can't grasp it. He's only 2.5, but he has grasped my vest. I wear a vest every day that vibrates, and my son gets on the back of it, and I think he thinks he's on a motorboat or something. He starts screaming as loud as he can.
So that's a fun thing.
That's great for him. I was like, you know, we don't need a water slide. We got that. So.
And cost then, about the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then my daughter, she's starting to grasp it a little bit. In fact, she did a video, which I had no idea she was doing. She took her phone, and she was videotaping her daddy. She told me I was 100 years old, which I'm not going to go there. But she said, love daddy. That was her thing. She goes, there's daddy doing his therapy. We love daddy. And I'm still in tears when I think about that, that she did that on her own, that she kind of understands it. She has a peanut allergy, so I kind of make the analogy to her. Mm-hmm. As I tell her, you know, with peanuts, if you have one, you get really sick, right? She goes, yeah. I go, well, daddy was kind of born with a peanut allergy that never goes away, is that it's always dangerous, that it can always get me sick, so I always have to take care of myself, just like if you had an outbreak of some type, you have to take medicine or have an injection, something like that. That's daddy every day. It's just a different type of medicine. So she really... she really is starting to get it, and she sits with me when I do my therapy in the morning. We watch the Disney Channel, which I can quote every show now, as can she. But yeah, the kids have really grown accustomed to it.
Yeah, well, great stuff, and it's been wonderful having you on the show. One of the questions, obviously, we ask everybody is their pearl of wisdom. For our listeners, what would your pearl of wisdom be for them to live life better, to be more successful? What would your advice to them be?
Well, as far as, first of all, with fundraising, I would say don't be afraid of the word no. You know, it does happen. It does happen. But what's the worst that can happen? They can say no. Everyone kind of hears that, but that's all it is. And the best thing that can happen is they can say yes, and the best can be far better than the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say that with fundraising. But as far as life itself, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I have good days and bad. I'm not Mr. Oh, I get up in the morning, I'm happy all the time. But I do realize with events that have happened in my life that I'm lucky to be here regardless. You know, I had a sister who lived 16 days, and I guarantee you she would have loved to have a lot more. So what I say is there are no dress rehearsals in life. Enjoy what you got. Deal with the hand you have. And you know what? Make the most of that deal. Sometimes, you know, I have cystic fibrosis. I could have looked at it and said, that's a prison sentence. It's over. Or I could look at it as this is a real chance to make a difference in the world, and that's what I've chosen. It's taken me a long time to figure that out, but I've chosen to make a difference. So I would say if you've got any passion for anything, I don't care what it is, go out and get it. Go out and make it happen and use your support system to the max.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Andy. We appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to your updates. I know that you've got a blog that you've got.
I do. It's the Drive at 35. It's the driveat35.blogspot.com, and you can check it out and check out stories about me, but also check out our website. You can check out wishforwindy.org or my website at andylippman.com.
All right, so if you need a motivational speaker or want to get a hold of some of the books, there's your contact information. And Linda, the CF Foundation, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
You can either call me at 404-325-6973 or visit our website. I'll give you two. The Georgia website, which has events on all information on all of our events, including Wish for Wendy, which is November 5th. That website is georgia.cff.org. No www in that one. And then the national website, which has just a wealth of information on the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation and the disease and treatments and such, that is www.cff.org.
Okay. Well, thank you guys again for coming. And to our listeners, we appreciate your time. We will see you next week. Until then, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. We'll be right back.